It helps the minutes.
Yes.
Do you want us to put anything
yeah.
here?
Say
like,
our name.
Oh, nothing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You could be committee member.
Committee member.
Anything you want to. And if other people come and sign in, then it will just be a good reflection of
those. Yeah. I didn't know we were supposed to sign that one.
Yeah, it's just helpful for me. I mean, Ken keeps track of who they all are, but the next day I can come in and get started and know without having to listen to
them. Well, and the minutes get put together with AI, and we go through them very carefully so they're not incorrect. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting,
yeah,
if we say our names, then it will know during the meeting who's talking.
Oh,
it's
that's
amazing.
Great. Yeah.
So,
yeah, read the minutes of former meetings to kind of get.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
At all.
Good for
you. Are.
I'm Wendy. The
Wendy,
city
yes.
Reporter.
I've talked to you before. Yeah, okay.
Sorry.
You have a big job.
Yeah.
You have a job I can do.
Oh, it's a big job, but the meetings are recorded.
Yeah.
And then we use the recordings to help.
Well,
us
then that, yeah, helps
make,
a lot, I guess.
You know, generate the minutes, but the minutes are the formal documents. So. Thank you.
Thanks, Wendy.
And then if Elisa comes, we'll just note that she's online. And
is she going to join up by Zoom?
She'll be joining by Zoom, yeah, she's...
I wondered if I should
she
open that option to Nicole, but I'm like, it sounds like she's not feeling well, so
yeah.
We probably don't want her to feel even worse about attending and not feeling well.
Yeah. Is Elisa coming tomorrow?
Yes, sir. I'm aware.
We haven't been,
so
let's
she's
do that.
Not. I did order her food, and she did respond.
That's great. Okay.
Hey. You're set to go.
Okay. Thank you. I'll turn it off and lock the doors. I know.
Well, should we get started then?
Yeah.
Well, no worries.
No, go ahead.
Well, welcome everybody. I guess there's no citizen comment.
Say your name too.
Oh, that's right. Thank you. This is Mason Bennett talking right now. Can we have a motion to approve the minutes from our last, from April and May? Do you read those over?
I read them over.
Yes.
So at this point, yeah, you need to teach me though what I would motion to pass them.
Say, like make a motion to approve. I think
to
we got to say our name first this time. So what's your name?
Christine Siemens.
And then make a motion to approve the minutes, and then we would second it. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, I motion to approve the minutes.
Second. I second it.
Okay.
And then we vote.
So all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Great.
I don't need to do a
that's it.
Nay vote if there's if everybody.
That's
votes.
Right.
Okay. Okay. The first thing we have is we're going to review the city's wellness survey results. Oh, looks like Elisa's on now. I think that was something she wanted to cover.
Yes. Elisa, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I would like to move that we combine item 4, review the city's wellness results, as well as number 13, and then continue that on the agenda for next time. We have a really big agenda tonight, and I think talking about the events and the upcoming deadline for the application is probably more important.
Okay.
Continuing education related to classes. Let's see, was that in Nicole's email?
We're reading Nicole's email because she sent us.
She's sick.
Some things.
So this is what she said in Nicole's email. From the prevention coordinator Megan Crane regarding the opioid settlement funds. Oh, that's for later, but. The opioid settlement funds you're referring to are part of an award designated specifically for treatment services. Davis Behavioral Health has submitted a formal plan for these funds to the county and is currently in process. These particular funds are not accessible for prevention efforts, including through South Davis CTC or other prevention channels. Interesting. Any changes come up, they'll let us know. And then program manager Ashley DeSimone said she'll contact Nicole with options for dates for future classes, and she'll let us know what she recommends. And then a note about the social media. Okay. Does anybody have anything else about the education classes? I think that was mostly Nicole was following up on that, right?
Yeah, I had some items that I was doing. I haven't gotten. Mine was mainly on like water efficiency regarding landscaping and those types
oh,
of
yeah.
things and gardening, because they do have several kind of teachers or people that are experienced in that. So I will follow up on that still. So
that's for classes
sandball.
To do.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Because I think we had a couple of different topics we talked about, like classes or continuing education classes
yeah.
that could be integrated with North Salt Lake events or anything like that. So.
Okay. And then vendor booths. Was that mostly for like Davis?
So this one, I'm Ken Leatham speaking. This one, the vendor booths portion of item 5 was related to the city having a city tent
yeah.
and having staff members from the city, mostly department heads and the chief of police, attend city events so that the public could ask questions if they had questions for the city. We started, I think the first one was the Kite Festival this year,
mm-hmm.
which
mm-hmm.
I attended with a couple of council members, and we had people come and ask questions, and it was great. Then we had our Unity in the Community events. We had two of those, and we had staff at those events. I think it's a good thing to do. People ask all kinds of questions.
Mm-hmm.
I had lots of Bountiful residents ask where the free kites were, so that's a good question. I mean, it's a great question if you're at the Kite Festival. And then at the Unity events, we had some people asking us about trails and what the city's doing in Hatch Park, and we had some maps at Hatch Park. Hey, how are you, Jeff? So I think overall, it's an improvement to have the city have a presence at these events. We don't go to every Monday night food truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we've been going to major events, and I think it's helpful. I've been to several, and I think it's great to have the community be able to approach city staff and ask questions if they want. So that was on item 5, that was just kind of a report back on how it's going. I don't know if you talked about classes or not, but
we did a little bit from Nicole's email.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. So I think that was the report back on the vendor booths.
You think it's good though? It's not like, because I know the thing I worry about is I know the city staff are like doing a lot all the time. It's just like one
of
the
things
to go to.
Yeah,
okay.
It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't know if the word vendor is a little, maybe I got this assignment wrong. We've also had vendors at different events. I don't know if that's what this is about.
Well, I was going to ask
it's
about.
It's not really a health and wellness thing.
The car show, we had like the Chevron.
Yeah.
We had the,
mm-hmm.
and it was great to talk to them. So I talked
yeah.
to them and
mm-hmm.
Talked about future events with them
right.
You know, them. I know they've got all sorts of safety regulations, but possibly opening their facility for like an open house for
yeah.
residents and stuff.
Yeah.
And they seemed open to it. But was it do you know who rounded up the vendors there or at that those types of events? Or do they sign up?
They sign up.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, they sign up for the car show and for the fireworks
yeah.
event.
The Liberty Fest.
Chevron is a sponsor.
Okay.
And so is Lee's Market. And so
that's
they're
right.
big sponsors,
yeah.
and so they have a presence at
cool.
Liberty Fest events. And the Chevron staff is amazing.
Yeah.
They participate in Arbor Day.
Yeah.
And so they have about 25 people come to Arbor Day
that's
and help
cool.
us plant trees.
Really?
And
yeah.
it's pretty amazing. They'll do anything, though. They've helped on trail cleanups, lots of environmental things.
Well, and they sponsor the trail that goes by the facility.
Chevron Mile.
The Jordan
right.
River, yep. They sponsor
yeah.
that and take care of it.
So they're a good partner.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
It was a popular booth at the car show.
They were giving out free little
giving
cars.
Giving out free cars, yeah.
Gave out those cars. They were just so popular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
was a big hit.
It was a big deal.
They ran out.
Yes.
Cool. And I think six, I don't think that was supposed to be on this one. We talked about that in May, I think.
Okay. We'll take that one off.
Sure. Yeah. And then discussion on a community-based mental health initiative.
So this one was included. We included materials in your packet. If you saw that, that's this packet.
Oh yeah.
And so, Elisa, do you have? Do you want to discuss this healing initiative for women and girls, or do you want me to do that, or?
Can you do an overview of that, and then I'll chime in on anything else that I feel like
okay.
needs to be out there for discussion?
Boulder Way.
So this is affiliated, I think is affiliated or associated with a Boulder Way Forward. It's not a Boulder Way Forward. But this is an initiative that I'm not entirely certain where it comes out of. It's being, the contact in here you might have noticed is a doctor based in Bountiful.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the program really has, it has a purpose of improving mental health in women and girls. And it does it through sort of, they call them core elements, but they're really activities and workshops. The first one is, healing through movement in nature, and so there are guided hiking experiences, and they're all of these events have facilitators and professionals to assist the participants, and I'm not entirely certain if it's not a therapy sort of thing, but it is. I'm sure there's discussion about mental health in all of these. The second one is yoga for mental health. So it's a series of classes and workshops that talk about healing through yoga, emotional wellness, and resilience. The third one is art therapy, which is a very interesting one. So they have art workshops where they teach. They have an artist come and teach, I think, painting and drawing mostly. And then the fourth one is training workshops. And those would be ways for community members to become more educated in mental health issues and ways in which they can contribute to those who need assistance, I think. I think they're mostly educational workshops, maybe classroom type settings. But those are the four core elements, and then there's more detail as you go through this. You can read more about those. There is a cost.
Mm-hmm.
So if we were to partner with this group, the cost is $50,000. And it's broken down by the elements. So each of the elements are, the first three are about $10,000 or $10,500. The fourth one, which is the training workshops, is $14,000. And then there's a fee, as near as I can tell what this is a fee for a coordinator to organize the events and make sure they happen and scheduling and those kinds of things. So. Anyway, this is Elisa. Are you the one that requested this be on the agenda, or was it someone else?
It was not me.
It wasn't.
But
you.
It is very related to my agenda item.
Okay. Great.
Do you know where this came from? I'm sure somebody contacted you.
They did contact me, and so. but I didn't really get as much detail then as I have now. So they sent this material, and I thought this would be a good place. This originated because a city staff member is familiar with this program and has a friend who works in this program. So that's so that's the origin of this. But I couldn't remember if what you asked us to put on the agenda was this or something else. So I apologize if I got that mixed up. But
no, this is very timely. So I did ask for an agenda item, and it's item number 9. And if we could just combine it with what we're talking about right now, I think it will help us in this discussion. So I was another council member was contacted by a group called Circles USA, which is under the umbrella of a group called Open Doors. And it looks like they do mentorship for individuals who are seeking to be lifted out of poverty. And it sounds like another fantastic organization. So the discussion that I wanted to have that would relate to this and would also relate to this community-based mental health initiative is, as this committee, we currently have no budget. So having this initiative cost $50,000 or $10,000 for each of those elements, there's no budget for us currently to do that. We could decide that we want to do that and then take that to the city council and ask that that be added into the budget. And I wanted to have a discussion with this group to say, is this something that our committee wants to do? I think there are pros and cons to that. One of the pros is that we have the opportunity to partner with some really great organizations and collaborate to bring programs into our city that we do not have to create from scratch. I really like that. One of the goals we've stated over the years is that we do not want to duplicate programs. We really want to connect individuals to pre-existing programs. So I like that idea. I think some of the cons are we then become a kind of what might feel like a grant funding organization where a wide range of nonprofits could then contact us, and we're in the position of deciding who is more or less worthy for us to partner with. And we would have to create some criteria to make sure that we are choosing organizations that align with our principles and our stated goals and priorities, and not just this is my friend or this is a group that I used to work with, but that we can be really fair when we apply those decisions where we're going to then be putting some money. So I would love to hear from the other committee members of, do you see our organization, our committee being one that is asking the city council for funds to partner? Would you rather that we just don't do that and just we don't have money to share? What are people's thoughts about that?
This is Sam Ball speaking. I would definitely be interested in us kind of requesting some sort of budget. It may go over better if, so there are a lot of grant opportunities out there for cities or organizations like ours or committees like ours. And it may go over better if we, you know, we request a budget, but in that request maybe outline, you know, these are some of the grants that may become available to us as we start to partner with these organizations or apply for these types of programs. You know, I know the county offers some, but there are other grants out there that we could be looking for, and it will take some homework on our part and kind of looking for and searching for those grants. But yeah, I
let me ask a quick question about that. And this might be one that Ken needs to answer. If we are applying for grants and then the money we get from that grant, we are then going to funnel into another organization. Is that an appropriate way to do that, or does that organization actually need to apply for that grant directly? When I said we might be kind of a grant organization, what I meant is that places would think we are the funders of the grant, that they are applying to North Salt Lake City to get grant funding or to get their funding. Ken, do you know?
That's a good question, and I think the answer really is it depends on the program. So, for instance, I think if we were to locate a grant that would provide this type of mental health assistance that we are looking at with this initiative, it's likely that we could get some grant funds and use some city funds to purchase these services for our residents, and that would be just fine, you know. In other cases, we might we might have an organization where we would say, if you can get a grant to fund part of your services, we'll match that so that you can come to North Salt Lake and provide those services. You know, I think those are individual decisions on how we feel about the programs that we're looking at, and maybe the availability of grant funds for those services. So, and I agree with Sam, there's probably some out there. There may not be for this specific thing, but there might be for other things. So I think it's worth considering. The question that's always difficult, I think, is, and maybe this is a good question for the committee, is this initiative meeting a need that we've identified in the community? I think we could all agree it sounds like a great program, but as we make decisions about where to spend resources, we probably should start those decisions with the question of what's the need in the community that we are trying to address. And I'm not saying this isn't a need, because clearly there's a need. I had two daughters and no sons, so I know this is a need for women and girls. And so I don't have to be convinced of that. But is it the need we want to address as a committee, or are there other needs that are competing? And I think that we should spend time evaluating that, because we only have a certain number, we only have a finite amount of resource, and so you want to use it where you think it's the best used. So
can I say, Christy Seaman speaking, do I need to do that each time?
No, just once, that's good.
Okay.
Thanks.
My first question when I read through this, and I'm quite familiar with like programs and lots of seminars and things I've attended even myself, and things people do, but my first question was, what references do we have of how well it works in a community? Because you know, I know people who are suffering with certain ailments and certain things aren't going to get on the North Salt Lake website and go, how's North Salt Lake helping me? Like, how does it come out into our town, and do people really know about it? Is that $50,000 is a lot?
Yeah.
I can think of a lot of ways to use that money too. But yeah, I would want to know references and talk to someone who's had firsthand experience with what an amazing result they had from it. Real participation.
Yeah.
And
one of the things as we think about this type of a program is that it's been a little discouraging that we've canceled some classes because
same
of
thing.
Low participation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
So if we commit to a program like this, we're going to have to do something different than what we've done to inform or let the public know that this service is available. And I don't know that we were the problem. I think we had good social media. I think we had a city newsletter that announced the classes. I just think we had low turnout, you know, and so some folks signed up, but there wasn't enough to hold a class. And so that's sad for those who wanted to take the class, but we ended up canceling some. So that's a consideration.
That's one that I was wondering, because I was looking, and it looks like for the money, you get 10 nature hike sessions for 30 participants, 10 art therapy, 10 mindfulness therapy sessions, and 5 community training. That's like 35 classes with hundreds of participants, and we struggled to get, in years past, I remember getting people to come to 2 or 3 events with the Davis Behavioral Health.
I think going back to Ken's point, I think what we really have to fall back on is the survey results that we have from the community. I think that should lead a lot of our decisions. Not to say that it has to lead all of our decisions, but if we feel like we're addressing all of those items that maybe are outlined in the survey that we got back, then I think we can continue to maybe choose other ones that maybe aren't on there or didn't get on there, right? Because I'm sure, I don't know if there was a question specifically about this type of program, like if there was a mental health program for women and girls, would you participate? Or is that something that's a need,
sure,
right? And so maybe that's why the results might be skewed. It may be like a need, it just wasn't maybe on the survey or able to kind of be pulled
out. There's
a
need for men too. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Yeah.
I want to second that Sam just said. I think that the survey results are the foundation for where we point to an identified need. I really like that. And when it comes to that community-based mental health initiative, the city has passed an ordinance that they are a Boulder Way Forward city, which puts some focus on uplifting girls. So that would be a justification for partnering with this organization. I also agree with what Mason said, that it's a lot of events, but we don't have to do all of them. We could just start with one of those prongs and see how it goes if we wanted.
So I guess, Ken, I know you can't tell us how much money is available because it's we have to request it. But and Alyssa may know also from a city council standpoint. Has the Health and Wellness Committee requested funding before or a budget?
No, not really. Okay. I mean, nothing significant.
Okay.
And I think the council adopted either $800 or $1,000 per committee.
Okay.
But I can't recall off the top of my head, I'm sorry.
Okay.
But it's not much.
Okay.
So, but I think that our city council is looking to all of its committees
mm-hmm.
to come up with well-reasoned, fact-based proposals. And if we feel like we have something like that, we should go to the council and say, here's some needs we identified in the survey. I love that idea too. Here's some solutions. Here's what they cost. And I think the city council will be generous. I'm sorry if I said that too. I think the council's open to these ideas because
mm-hmm.
they formed this committee.
Yeah.
So they want solutions. I don't think they expect those solutions to be free.
Yeah.
And they want to make an impact
mm-hmm.
in the community. So
okay.
I think they'll be willing to spend some funds if we can find some really good uses for that money.
Okay.
And this might be a good use, but we're not really comparing it to anything else either.
Yeah.
And so I'm definitely not trying to shoot it down. I'm paid to have a healthy skepticism about salespeople that approach the city and say,
yes.
Hey, I have this great thing. If you want to buy it, it'll be awesome. And so I feel kind of like we should be doing some of the groundwork to go through that process of decision making that meets a need
mm-hmm.
rather than just having a sales pitch.
Yeah.
And I'm reducing that. This, I'm being pejorative to this and I shouldn't. But they approached us, probably.
Well, and 50,000 is
significant. It's a significant amount.
It's significant, right? So
yeah, that is true.
It's a significant amount to
yeah.
fund that. I mean, not to say that it couldn't be in our future, right, or something like
yes.
that. But it's a lot to go from zero budget to 50,000.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Alyssa, maybe my question for you is regarding the Open Doors initiative. Do you feel it addresses a community need, and maybe why?
I will be real honest. What they are looking for, they did not ask for money in this initial request. They asked for help recruiting volunteers, and I'm not sure that this committee is offering that type of ground level volunteer work and help. So I'm not sure that this is a good fit. I also think another question that I would love for us to discuss along these lines, just like Ken was saying that the community-based mental health initiative contacted him, this group contacted me and they wanted to come to our committee and do their sales pitch and the presentation. And I kind of screened them and said, no, I will go and I will talk to the committee and see if this is something that is like it fits for us. Along those lines of us then becoming the grant awarding group, I would not like to see our meetings get filled up with pitches or bring groups to come. I think that we could spend a lot of time on that.
Mm-hmm.
But we should probably come up with a system that when an organization contacts us, we put it on the agenda and have somebody in the committee give an overview. And then if it gets past that first piece, then we might choose to invite them in. Like, we had the Center of Hope food bank group come in. They're very different relationships, though, because they are housed within our city and they service individuals within our city, where both these other two that we're talking about today are not North Salt Lake-based organizations. So I would say, as a group, I would love for us to come up with maybe a short list of criteria that we use when we're evaluating these kinds of organizations. And I think Sam put one of the first ones out there that I love, which is it needs to have a clear identification for a stated need in our city that we are trying to address. And I think we should draw that a lot from the wellness survey. I think it needs to have a really clear ask. What is it exactly you want from us? Is it money? Is it time? Is it connection? Really clear ask. I like what also was stated, that there needs to be some evidence-based success. Like, where has this gone well in the past? What does that look like? And I think that when we put that criteria together and then we take it to the city council, I agree with what Ken said. I think the council is ready and willing and eager to support an initiative that this committee thinks is valuable if we create a really good case for why that is the particular organization and place where we want to spend money. And I think that they will be very supportive, but we have to really have those kinds of nuts and bolts ironed out first before we go there. What do you guys think about that? Those criteria? Do you have others to add to those as we start like evaluating organizations that come to us?
This is Jeff Skroger. I would say we should also add some sort of baseline price. I think $50,000 is a lot of money, and I think, you know, we could probably find something that would be less than that, that would still maybe not hit all of these marks, but would still tick, you know, some of the boxes, and start maybe at a lower amount. Also, you know, given Mason's comment about the lack of participation in previous classes, I think it's a lot of money to put up front when we're not confident there's an audience for it. So I think we should have like a price threshold, and maybe, and I don't know if maybe this organization would be willing to do something that isn't all four of these categories and kind of this whole thing. Maybe they would, you know, do like a shorter or cheaper version.
I think we have access to doing that ourselves. I don't think we need them to find a yoga teacher and implement it like a yoga class, for instance, or even art.
It's
we could do it.
Yeah, and looking,
they're good ideas.
Looking at, you know, like, and looking at the well-being survey results, cultural opportunities was the lowest rated one. That's the one that people basically said North Salt Lake was failing at. Basically, we need to do more. Mm-hmm. So cultural opportunities was number one. Environmental quality was number two. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of, you know, connection with nature, social connections, physical health, mental health. But I think, like, focusing on something like this or something like similar would kind of hit a lot of these categories with, you know, one activity, you know, where we're, if we get people doing something outside and socializing and focusing on mental health, it's a cultural opportunity. I have a friend whose mother lives in Midway, and she goes to Tai Chi at a local city park twice a week. And I think something like, if we had Hatch Park that was open and we had, you know, Tai Chi every, you know, Wednesday or something in the morning, it'd give people a chance to go and that kind of thing. But I don't know, things like that, that, you know, maybe that would, if we look at the survey results, that would, you know, hit multiple categories on the survey results, but also be cheaper, basically. I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, we're going to see a proposal on a different item tonight that addresses some of what you said, because especially the part about being outside and having a community place to go, like a Tai Chi thing. But anyway, we're going to see a fitness video in a minute.
Well, and maybe also related to that, I would like to see organizations that would come with, I don't know how else to put it, but like an a la carte menu, right? Similar to what you're talking about, where, you know, we don't have $50,000, but yes, we think this is valuable. Is there a way we can implement this in smaller chunks, or is there a way that your services can be broken down? And so if they could provide that, and they kind of do, right? They break it down into individual items. I don't know if you can contract just for one item or not, but
yeah, I don't know that.
I think it would be good for us making decisions, because then we can start to prioritize and say, oh, you know, this is number one, so we got to put more money towards this, less money towards this. But mm-hmm. I think that would be in response to Alyssa's kind of question about what guidelines we would want for organizations that come to us. I think that would be worthwhile.
I would like to add one more criteria on that list, and it is a deadline. That we evaluate these programs before maybe December 31st each year, and then we talk about it as a committee in January, February, March of each year, and then by March, we submit whatever requests we have to the City Council, and that puts us in good time frame for budget requests. Usually we have our budget retreat in April, so we can put it into the budget early and get ready to request that money.
Great.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, you think about the idea that we bring, when we are approached by organizations, they first come to the committee through a committee member or a staff member rather than we invite them to present on their own to the committee.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's great because then we get some pre-screening based on our understanding. I think we have a better understanding of what the city values or what we're trying to address as a committee, right? So we could initially do a screening because you're right. Otherwise, I think we'll just get all sorts of pitches and people wanting to pitch to us without being screened. But that's I think it's a great idea.
I'm happy to take kind of take a crack at a draft little policy document you guys could look at if you want. I've been taking notes on all the criteria.
That would be great.
I'll have to listen to the meeting too. So, but I'm happy to do that if that's kind of the wishes of where you want to see it go next.
Yeah.
Could we also add to like maybe the agenda in October, review of potential partner organizations, and we'll just start creating a short list of those that we then on that day can say, here are the three or four that are on our radar for this next year and start the discussion so we're ready by the end of the year to have one that we've selected.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Lisa.
Do you want me to go to the next item?
Yeah, is that another one? The National Fitness Campaign?
So this item, the National Fitness Campaign and Partnership Program, is one that that I looked at a while ago. They approached our city, but they also approached many Utah cities, and some cities in Utah are doing this. There's Spanish Fork is doing a court that you're going to see in a video in a moment. This group has partnered with public and private agencies around the country to build out an outdoor fitness location in public parks or in adjacent to parks. And it has a bunch of fitness equipment in it. They say it's gym replacement. And it also has, it has a QR code. You can walk up to it and find out what the 50 exercises are. Anyway, it's easier to watch the video, but I wanted you to know they approached us a couple of years ago, and there is a cost to the city. They will also pay some of the cost to build this facility, but we have to, we have some costs. We have to have the property, and we have to put a pad down, a concrete pad, and but it is a partnership. They'll also, as part of this, they'll also train community volunteers. So, I'm trying to think of a good example. If someone wanted to teach yoga at the fitness court, you know, this company would train them on some exercises that they could hold a neighborhood class. And it's not really paid. It's all just, you know, we would manage that.
Yeah.
So the last thing I'll say is this group was on an agenda where a bunch of mayors were together. And so Mayor Horrock brought this video to the city council, and the city council asked us as the Health and Wellness Committee to review the material and look at it. So we can talk about next steps after that, but all right. So here's the video.
We're changing the way America thinks about fitness. From municipal parks and trails to college campuses to high schools nationwide, we're bringing free fitness everywhere, and we're just getting started. Hi, I'm Mitch Benaggi, founder of the National Fitness Campaign. The National Fitness Campaign was founded in 1979 when we opened the first fitness court. Redesigned for the 21st century, the fitness court is the world's best outdoor gym. Our 7-movement, 7-minute system allows you to use your own body weight to get the perfect workout. Easy or hard, it will work for you. Our goal is to build healthy communities by making outdoor fitness an essential part of people's lives so that each day is better than the last. Now more than ever before, it is vital that we move fitness outdoors to remain safe, healthy, and strong.
Michiganders, as soon as we can, we go outside, which is one of the reasons why the fitness bar was such an attraction to us. What impressed us most was their basic philosophy that they want to provide world-class fitness for free. Truly, anyone can use it, no matter what your age is, no matter what your physical fitness level is, no matter what your skills are, it is very adaptable.
This fitness court is one of the best things that Citizen Joe has ever done. Thousands of certified ambassadors will be trained to deliver classes, challenges, and clinics as part of our national fitness campaign. New programs are bringing students outdoors across America. The Fitness Court mobile app is your gateway to enroll in these programs. Simply scan the new digital wall with your phone to access a library of free workouts designed to optimize your experience on the Fitness Court. Learn the moves and take challenges as we dig deep to create impact for our partners across America. This year, we are thrilled to introduce the Fitness Court Studio, the ultimate community wellness hub, uniting the power of yoga, Zumba, bodyweight fitness, and the arts. Fitness Court Public Art continues to grow and inspire across the country as local artists collaborate to bring beautiful, one-of-a-kind murals to life on fitness courts and fitness court studios. We're proud to have helped cities of all sizes raise millions of dollars from respected sponsors to support free fitness. Wherever fitness is a priority, you can find a fitness court. We're partnering with large cities using urban movement data to map the best locations for healthy infrastructure. We're bringing fitness courts to within 10 minutes of population centers everywhere.
They provide these wraparound services that, from a city's perspective, that's what you want in a partner like this. You want it to come presented to you on a silver platter with a bow tied around it. They're one of the best partners, I think, that I personally have ever worked with.
We serve almost 1.2 million members across Michigan. And this partnership really is an opportunity for us to bring scalable, free health and wellness opportunities to our community. So I would actually invite cities and organizations, big and small, to explore the opportunity to invest in fitness courts. To be very honest with you, the feedback from different municipalities and different communities has been very positive. We are committed to raise over $1 billion to bring the campaign to 5,000 cities and schools, building the largest outdoor fitness movement in the world. Join us. Let's make world-class fitness free.
So the way that works for us, if we were to partner with them, is that we would find a location, we would negotiate kind of what kind of court we want. You noticed that there were two pieces. There was a backside,
yeah. mm-hmm.
where some classes were going on, and then there was the other side where the fitness equipment is, and you can do half of it or you can do all of it, and then they will install the equipment, and I believe we would commit to maintaining it. So as things wear out, we would have a cost to replace things that wear out. But anyway.
There's never a roof over them.
Not a roof over it. I mean, it's and you can see in some of those areas, it's kind of a California emphasis there. But, you know, they've done it in Michigan. They've done it all over the country.
It's a really neat idea.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea. And I think we have residents in our community that would benefit from it. The question is, my first thought was we'd put it out in Legacy Park in Foxborough, but because that's where we have the most room, I think.
Is it too late to incorporate it into Hatch Park? Be a big change order.
It's, you know, Hatch Park has been designed in a way where there's probably not room on phase one. But there's a phase two.
That's what I was thinking. Is maybe the phase
that's going to have a courtyard and it's going to have a community center. That might be the perfect spot.
Yeah.
For something like this, because it's not very big.
Yeah.
And what you want is to put it in a location where lots of people are going to use it.
Yeah.
You also don't want to build it and have nobody use it. You know.
Yeah. I mean, I would personally love Legacy Park because I live by Legacy Park, but I could see how maybe, you know, some of the residents might be like, oh, this is a great thing, but it's at the furthest end of our community instead of, you know, central
Hatch
located.
Park's a great that's a great idea to think about,
because there may already be, I mean, I know the city already has funding wrapped up into phase one and will have funding wrapped up into phase two, but when you're already doing a park redevelopment, adding a cost of a concrete pad and stuff like that isn't that significant.
It may not be too late to do that. There might be a location in Hatch Park.
And it looks like, would they go after partner organizations like Select Health, IHC, that would be able to?
I think we would probably do that.
Okay, so we would
which
do
we
the
could
groundwork
do.
On that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we could do that.
Okay.
So the question I think that the council has, and if I state this wrong, Elisa will correct me, but is just how does our committee feel about this kind of a facility, and if it's something you want to have us pursue, I think you just need to voice that preference if you want us to continue to look at it, and I can report that to the council, or Elisa can, and we'll reach out to them. We have a relationship with them, but it's been a couple of years since we talked to them.
Yeah, I think so. But what I like about it is it makes fitness accessible for all, right? I mean, you can pay for a gym membership. You can go to a gym. You can become a part of South Davis Rec Center, those types of things. But this is, you know, ultra accessible, a smartphone. You can get free courses on how to move and be active.
Right.
Yeah,
if you're working on your upper back, you know, you can go find out what should I do on these pieces of equipment to strengthen my shoulders and my back. Or maybe I'm sore because I sit at a computer all day.
Yeah,
and how do I help that? You know, there's all kinds of things you can.
And cities have done this in the past. So I grew up in Kaysville, and they had, you know, a trail. It was a trail format, so you'd run along the trail, and then you'd stop and do pull-ups and those types of things. So cities have done it in the past, and I think it's been successful. But I personally would think it would be worthwhile pursuing as possibly part of Hatch Park at some point.
Great.
I don't know how the rest of the community feels.
I agree. At first I was like, oh, you know, we're in Utah, there's a lot of snow, but we build parks for kids too, and they're in the snow, and so I think it's a great idea. I liked, when you brought it up, I was thinking, you know, when I lived in Europe for a while, and they had all these things they put in, they had all these moving parts, and then they'd like break down, and a couple years later, there was like nothing. It was just a bunch of broken parts. So I liked that it was a lot of static equipment.
Yeah.
You know, not a lot of moving parts, especially the city's doing the maintenance on it. And I do like how, you know, sometimes you feel a little like self-conscious going in like your backyard or your driveway to like jump rope or do a kettlebell or something like that. And so having like a dedicated space, a community space is kind of nice to get people outside and exercising.
Yeah.
I think kids will go ahead.
No, you go.
And teenagers and kids will go use it for, they'll goof around. What's the liability on something like this? Mm-hmm. Like,
that was on my list, was insurance.
Take a rope and hook it at night, and then they do this, and they do that. And
yeah. Well,
they're creative.
We have liability on all kinds of equipment and playgrounds and stuff, so we just have to talk to our insurance carrier, and I'm sure it would be fine. There are some requirements to have certain types of materials. If people are going to be exercising, jumping up and down, we probably have to have a softer place to fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
my guess is
concrete.
From a design standpoint, they've thought of that.
They probably have.
They're pitching it to
right.
cities. And most cities have the same or very similar requirements.
Yes.
Playground equipment and all those types of things. Fall
Absolutely.
Zones, those types of things.
So I'm assuming we could handle the liability just fine.
And then just with our rain and weather and mild snow, you could still use it if there was a roof over it. But
well, and that's one option in incorporating it into Hatch Park is if we could start it out without a covering, right? And see if it's popular, then covering, there's all sorts of different types of coverings that, you know.
Absolutely.
On the architecture side, I've designed several times.
Sure.
And there's cost ranges that are from very entry level to, you know, higher
Absolutely.
End that we could look at it as a community to make it more a year-round facility.
I myself was lukewarm on it. I wasn't that impressed with the video. I right off the bat, I was suspicious that they call themselves the National Fitness Campaign. And I'm kind of put off by any organization that presents themselves as sort of like a quasi-governmental agency when they're not a governmental. They're just, they've picked this very patriotic logo and picked a name that makes them sound like they're some sort of government entity, and they're not. And I just find that to be kind of, I'm suspicious right off the bat when I see that kind of messaging. I wrote insurance down for the same liability questions that you brought up. I don't know. I just felt like I know when we resurfaced our tennis courts, that was a significant cost, and I just feel like that seemed to be underplayed. The sort of the maintenance cost of this is underplayed, given how much it costs us to resurface our tennis courts. Which I think are a lot simpler than those courts look, and making pickleball courts. I think that was, you know, a significant cost that we incurred. So I don't know. I'm not against it, but I'm not in favor of it either. I'm just, yeah.
Have they given a cost? Do you know? Is there a cost for the base package or the course?
Yeah. Well, our cost. 2 years ago, our cost was the cost of a concrete pad and the property.
And then maintenance, long-term.
Long-term maintenance. And they would, once we pour a pad that meets their, you know, whatever their specs are, they would come in and install the above-ground facility, the first, you know, the initial court.
And I guess maybe our question would be, what are they getting out of? I guess if we're providing the pad, I guess what are they? Is it just an advertising type?
That's a good question. I'm not
partnership
sure.
for them. I'm just wondering
well,
what
sure
they're getting
making
out of
salaries,
it.
Salaries that are running the organization and things. I'm sure that there's people making.
But if
money.
We're not paying them anything, we're just providing
pad,
a pad. What are they getting actually?
Yeah, we
out
didn't
of it?
Go so far as to have an agreement with
they
them, so I can't
grants.
Tell you for sure.
Okay.
It might be interesting to see cities it's in and talk to somebody.
It may be that they're getting paid by healthcare providers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they have those partnerships.
They kind of show
yeah.
their donation list.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they are they, like the app, for example. So the app does say there's free things on there, but are they also, is it a portal for them to offer paid
I don't
classes. That's
something
what we would need to ask.
Just
track everything you do.
Yeah.
Just check into it.
We would need to, and maybe those are some clarifying questions for us to, you know.
Yeah.
Ken, do you feel like those are questions you could follow up on our next meeting?
Yes.
So I would, and some of the things I heard is the initial investment, you said it's the concrete pad, but if we could get a rough estimate, like, is that 30,000? Is that what
it's gonna,
that look like?
Yeah, it's going to run about $120,000 for the pad.
Okay, and then I think a review of, would we have to have increased insurance at the park? And then those last questions about what other commitments are we having with the organization? Are they wanting to be able to use the park, advertise, anything like that? Any other questions you'd want follow-up on, committee members?
I missed the last one you said, but with like the cost, like could they give us like a projected estimate of maintenance long-term?
Yeah.
Is that what you just said? Am I repeating your good ideas?
No.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're talking about it being a concrete pad, but that wasn't just a concrete pad that we saw in the video. There was some sort of surfacing on it.
Yeah, there's
yeah,
a surfacing.
So what is the surfacing?
Mm-hmm. Well, and is it, I think it would be good to know if it's proprietary equipment. So that would sign us up to pay them
to
directly
pay them
long-term,
yeah.
Right? And that might be part of their business model, right? Is that, hey, we install it for free, but then when this breaks down, you can only come to us because that's the only thing that can be installed in this location or those types of things.
Yeah.
I would look up if they've ever sued a municipality as well. It'd be interesting on that note.
That would be great, yeah. That's a good thing to ask.
Those are such good questions. I'm so impressed.
Yeah, well, and I never talked to Spanish Fork or others, and part of what I think I would want to do before we enter into a contract is see what other cities' experiences are with this group, too. So.
Other nearby cities have done it then, like Spanish Fork? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's one other one but I don't know which city it is. They said there's two in Utah. So. Great.
So the discussion on Healthy Utah designation application due August 1st. So is this the one that happened a couple years ago? Does it expire? We have to redo it?
It does. Right? It has to be recertified every 2 years. We're really ready to submit the application. The one thing that is that I'm looking into right now, and I'm sorry I'm not further along here, where I have other folks working on this. We have to have two additional health strategies. We have to have added two health strategies in order to qualify to become, to recertify. So here are some strategies that I'm looking at in order to have this recertification happen. So one is create an active transportation plan or update an existing one. So since we initially certified, I believe we have adopted an active transportation plan with Bountiful and Centerville City. And so I think we can do that one. The others are related to things like the trail series mm-hmm. that we're doing. And this is what it says, organize a free or low cost fitness event for your community. So, you know, we've done several trail mm-hmm. events. We have the lists of the dates and everything. So I think we can demonstrate that. Here's some that I'm checking on. One would be develop a new walking / biking trail or add to an existing one. So we did add some trails down in Foxborough at the Foxborough Park. And so anyway, we've also, the other one is add wayfinding signage for trails that provide both time and distance for the routes. And I don't think we've done that, but the Trails Committee wants to do that. So, anyway, but I think I think we can meet those strategies. I just need to vet those a little bit more and make sure that I can document those things.
Mm-hmm. We have pictures from those trail events too. So
yeah, great. Some. Okay, so I may reach out to you about that. But that's the only thing left on the application. Everything else is ready to be submitted. So I just want to make sure that if I certify that we've done those things, that I can actually show documentation that we've done it. So.
Most of those sound like they'd be part of the Trails and Active Transportation Committee.
A lot of it is taken over by the trails now, yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool. Yep. But this would be a good, after getting the application resubmitted is one part of this. But I think also it would be good for this committee to... Maybe twice a year, we look at these strategies and we think about things that we may wish to engage in. So that there's strategies in three major areas. One is active living, so that's where I read the ones I just said to you guys. Is all about adopting things. Or building facilities, or crime prevention through design. There's lots of things in active living that we might want to consider. The next one is access to healthy food, which we haven't done a ton of, but we had some things already in the initial application, like we had a community garden. Mm-hmm. But we could promote healthy eating. We haven't done that in our social media. We haven't been aggressive in our zoning and land use ordinances, where we could be more aggressive in urban agriculture. That's the term they use. Mm-hmm. We already have an ordinance that allows backyard poultry or having chickens at home. And then the last one is mental health. And so we used the mental health classes in our first application. And so we'd have to look at these. But anyway, I'm just suggesting that at some future meeting, it might be good for us to spend a little bit of time looking at these strategies and thinking about them in advance. And I can send this to you guys after this meeting. I'll send you the health strategies. And so you can kind of look at it. But maybe towards the end of the year, I really liked Elisa's suggestion that maybe by the end of the year, we look at things that might have a budgetary impact. And maybe some of these health strategies also have a budgetary impact. Yeah. And so, I can put this on a future agenda for you guys, or maybe the next agenda if you want. But if we can look at these strategies and make some decisions about those.
So trying to be more intentional about reaching this designation.
Yes.
Than just the things we've done in the past because we're interested in being
or
a...
Or maybe that we accidentally, we did a couple of strategies, so we're going to be lucky we can recertify, but...
Yeah, I think that's great.
That's not a very nice way to say that.
No.
But it's good. We are doing things.
I understand. Yeah.
But yes, being more intentional about saying, okay, we're going to actually do this, and this will be a program, or this will be an idea that we want to address. So anyway, I'll make a note to send these to you guys so that we can do that. And maybe, I don't know, maybe September or October would be a good meeting.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. And I think kind of looking at like having those three things kind of is like the focus, mm-hmm. but then also thinking about it in the context of the wellness survey results.
Yes. Yeah.
So something like healthy food is one of the things, and the wellness survey talked about, the number one concern was cultural activity. So what if we sponsored, cooking classes at Lee's? They had the cooking class area there. And that would be something where it's like a cultural opportunity, but it's also healthy eating.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Just things like that, where we can think of ways where we can kind of hit multiple points in this list and our wellness survey list.
Great.
Ken, can I add in there, as you put together that application under the category of access to nutritional foods, I wonder if it would fit to include our partnership with the Center of Hope Food Pantry, and that they, the Youth City Council, does their food pantry handout nights or delivery nights. I don't know.
Yeah,
all those.
Look at that and see if it fits in as an activity. Yeah, great.
So you recommended, Ken, one time a year, two times a year, revisit these and kind of just check where we're at.
Yeah, here's what I would suggest, that we look at this in maybe the September or October meeting.
Okay.
And then we can decide if we want to do that again in 6 months or.
Okay.
You know, you guys can tell me how often you want to look at these.
I think that's great.
I think there's two good reasons to do it in the fall. One is the budget meeting. If we have a budgetary thing attached to it, request, that is, that's a good reason to do it then. The other thing is, every year this committee has made some goals, and so you could be thinking in advance if you want to set some goals for 2026 that
gotcha.
Are related to these strategies. So that might mean putting programs together, or, you know, I don't know, you can look at this list and see. I love the idea of cooking classes at Lee's. That's
a great idea.
It's on the list also, that kind of activity.
Oh, really?
Yep. So, great.
Cool. The Health and Wellness Fair, July 31st.
So this one, I've kind of got the ball rolling a bit. I should say Chief Black has the ball rolling on this one. But I've sent out emails to the participants from last year. I've gotten one email automatically returned, but I've gotten no responses. And I know I sent the emails this weekend, and I, you know, didn't necessarily expect a response in one day. But the fact that there was no response at all, I think I need to, you know, reach out individually. And I'm wondering if the people that were emailing no longer work for these groups. But Elisa, we also talked about inviting some of the mental health providers who have participated on, you know, like Juneteenth night and Pride night. I'll have to send you a message, and maybe you can provide me with contacts for some of those groups, and I can reach out to them as well. But I think I just need to kind of maybe, you know, rustle the bushes a bit and get more people awake on this. The timeline's abbreviated as well. It's going to be July 31st. So
was Stubbs Dentals on your list? Do you remember?
We had Serene Dental and I think Stubbs.
Okay.
Yes, Stubbs was, yeah.
Yeah. So I made a note to reach out to the health department because I think they'll come as well. I talked to them, actually. I just need to follow up.
I sent them an email, but
yeah.
I can.
Okay.
It's, yeah. The other, I was thinking of other, you know, medical providers. There's the new medical office. Next to Lee's, and I was thinking of also just reaching out to them just to kind of see if we can get more people. So
I've had a couple forwarded from the police department who are planning on coming. There's NeckWise, and then House of Hearing, the, you know, audiology. There's a Common Spirit practice around here. And then the University Hospital one you sent me.
Mm-hmm.
There was a little bit of confusion. There were a couple other people, but some on the website, there's one spot where it says August 3rd, and then there's another where it says July 31st. So most of the emails have been just reassuring people that
I'm
it's
hoping
on July.
I think we fixed that.
Okay, cool.
You know, when you mentioned it to me.
Cool.
So we have.
But we had two of them drop out when I told them the date was earlier.
Okay.
Once we get a good list, though, I think how strict do we want to be about, you know, like, lots for these vendors, or just say, you know, find a spot first serve.
I think it's been pretty flexible. There's room there, so I think the most important thing is that maybe you and I are there, or Jeff, or whoever you want to do it, help them get set up. But
that was going to be my next question: is what time do we tell people to arrive to set up?
Starts at 5:30, right?
Yeah.
The event.
It doesn't take long. I think if people
like
are there at five,
yeah.
it's pretty casual compared to our other events. So the most formal part is the Night Out Against Crime part, where the police department has a formal thing where they cook hot dogs for everybody. And
I had a question, because they've been forwarding, you know, these more medical vendors uh-huh. our way. Are they working with, like, I know they had, like, the Humane Society, or they had, like, the fire department, or they bring in their, like, big
they're
trucks?
Bringing,
they're taking care of all
yeah,
that?
Yeah, they're bringing groups in, okay. too. So okay. the fire department will be here. Some folks from the state
okay, cool.
will be here.
That makes me feel better. I was a little concerned yeah. when I saw, like, four people.
They'll try to get a climbing wall. No, they'll try to get a climbing wall.
Fill the space, yeah.
It's never been really super well attended by vendors.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
It's just health not that wellness, many. Yeah. And plus, there's huge health and wellness fairs in Centerville, which I think took place already this year. So,
is it attended well by the city? Do people come?
I think people in the neighborhood come. Yeah,
in the neighborhood.
Yeah, we probably have lots.
Is
of
it
people
at
come.
Hatch
yeah.
Park?
It's at Legacy Park.
Legacy.
Out on the west side of Legacy Park.
The police cook free hot dogs, which is fun for
yeah.
I think that's a big draw.
Is
that
a big draw?
I mean,
my kids
I mean,
love it.
Yeah,
we usually have a helicopter come in, like one of the rescue
yeah.
helicopters comes in. We have the police canine comes in and does, and they bite somebody in the big suit, which everybody loves that. Cause
it's not on our signs throughout the city, is it? Health and wellness fair. Like, I've never seen it.
I think our signage. The event signage ran out at Liberty Fest.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
We don't have a ton of events, and so that's really the last group of signs.
Is it advertised more? Because I've seen it advertised both as health and wellness and the Night Out Against Crime.
Yeah.
I think Night Out Against Crime maybe gets out more.
Yeah.
A little bit more.
We'll do a push in the next this week and the next week. We'll do a push to get people out to get it advertised.
How many vendors do we have so far, or what's the average amount? I'm just so new here.
I've got these four, and then you said you.
Yeah, I've gotten no response from
no
anybody,
response.
So I'm gonna have, like I said, I have to start calling people and kind of trying to rustle.
It's also, you know, it's also government agencies come, like the Davis
mm-hmm.
County Health Department comes.
Oh.
In the past, they've had their mobile vaccination unit. They're not doing that much anymore since the COVID things kind of died down. They don't bring the vaccination people around much.
Elisa texted me and said she had to drop off, and she said she had nothing else to add.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So you know, I'll reach out to them. I'll make sure the health department's coming in.
I didn't CC people when I sent out the emails, but I figured as I got replies,
yeah.
I would send everyone updates as
cool.
I go along of like who replied and.
Is Davis Behavioral Health on there or no?
I'll talk to them too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes I know. Sometimes they come out, but
they do sometimes.
Can we send you these ones too?
Sure, that'd be great. Yeah, I can add them to the. We have a Google Doc that Janet created last year, of everyone that got invited, and then
great.
They get invited again. So, yeah. And that was kind of the email, was like, you know, you participated last year, you're welcome to come again.
Come again.
Awesome. Anything else with the fair? Discussion on goals and priorities. Is that the...
Sorry, I'm just writing notes here.
I think that the Healthy Utah application, knowing that we have to have new health strategies,
yeah.
and then knowing that there's the focus on active living, healthy food, mental health, I think that's a kind of a good guiding.
To so drive us. You know?
Yeah, a guiding list to think about, unless
I think so too.
Some doesn't win.
Sorry, here's our goal document. I don't know how much you want to go through this tonight, or.
I still have to call the senior lunch people. My name's on the list.
I think.
I've done that.
I think the one thing that we are maybe has fallen down a little bit, and it's probably my fault for doing this, but we haven't really done the social media
mm-hmm.
postings like we said we would, and it's, I mean, it's probably on city staff that's doing that every day to make sure that happens better. So
I felt like we might have better luck doing that after Liberty Fest.
Me too. That's why I kind of
the city staff's
I
pretty
pulled off a little bit because I could
know,
feel that Lisa was she was overwhelmed so that, and had a lot of stuff coming out. Yeah.
I know. It's yeah. I hate to say that that's true, but it really does.
No.
It's just overwhelmed.
It's totally valid.
The organization
yeah.
for a couple of months.
It's a huge event.
It really
huge
does.
Bunch of events.
Yeah. And it's a lot of getting the word out. So.
Yeah.
So I think there's an opportunity now. We have a newsletter. We have a city newsletter that's going out next week, and now is the right time to submit an article. If you want us to take the air quality stuff that you guys have already done and try to put an article together, I mean, we're happy to do that. Linda and I can do that probably.
Okay. Yeah, I could look.
Or if you want to relook at it.
I could relook at it because I had formatted those ones more as like a, trying to be like a quick post or somewhat quick, right? We tried to.
Yeah.
But you had the one article that you put together that was more comprehensive and longer.
And we can always do.
Maybe that works better.
Yeah, I'll look at that too. We can always do a quick post if you guys really want to. If we want to restart that little fire on, we can get something done here and.
I think it would be nice to
do August.
Some, a little, you know, a couple, even if it's just like one or two each month from the Health and Wellness Committee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just like a blurb on, oh, did you know, you can improve air quality by this? Or you can, you know, avoid exposure to bad air quality by doing this, right? Just help the community see that we are trying to be responsive to kind of their concerns.
I think it's a good idea to do one point or one idea per post.
Yeah.
And I think it's good to make it graphics heavy. I think people don't read anymore. So I think if we have a list of like, you know, five or six things with air quality, that should be five or six posts. And, you know, cool. I had some ideas about like, you know, talking about like sun exposure, and I was kind of going through the thinking like this would be better off just picking like the two or three best ones and just doing like two or three different posts with one in each.
Agreed. Yeah.
It's a good idea.
So.
Yeah. You need to be brief and
something.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Well, I'll look at that longer article. Maybe it's something we could drop in the newsletter.
Okay.
If you guys want to look at your information again and send me some things maybe we could post.
Yeah. And
be great.
What support is staff able to offer in graphics? Because I haven't done really any of
I think, so Linda does a pretty good job of putting graphics together.
Mm-hmm.
So if we give her content,
mm-hmm.
she can usually find some stuff. And if you want to look at it before we post it, we could send it around to everybody.
Okay.
You guys could make sure you like it or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she does a lot of the artwork. She's got different programs.
Yeah, because I think also I started to look into like pull things together, but also from like a city staff or consistency, graphic consistency. You guys have a style that you guys.
We have a format. We have logos and branding stuff. So, I think if we can shoot her some content, she can find stuff that works.
Yeah. Now that Liberty Fest is over, I'll
visit
that because I definitely could feel her.
We have staff members who had to take time off. Because they were just wiped out. So there's a couple of days there that are just
worn thin. Yeah.
17, 18 hour days in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, everyone's back and we're all up to speed. So
Okay.
But I don't know if you want to go through all the goals. That was just the one that I noticed.
I don't think we need to.
I think an effective way to talk about goals too is to kind of pick a meeting date and not do anything else but goals, you know, because this stuff gets kind of jumbled when you have so much on it. But we could do something towards the end of the year on 2026 goals if you want. That it's just my suggestion. You guys can run this how you want.
Would that be one to? I think it's a good idea. One to put in. I know we're putting stuff in like September, October, December, like November time. Do we meet in December usually? Usually I feel like that one gets canceled.
It's harder to meet in December, but
you know, it's up to you guys.
Okay. Yeah.
I was going to ask that question. Do you feel like you meet often enough to do what you might want to accomplish? And one reason I'm asking that is because I'm really here because when I talked to the mayor about some ideas I had about utilizing the clubhouse that I live by, and it's just empty most nights. And, you know, I've just been affiliated and worked with lots of people that do seminars and do things like that. And I worked in the schools. And of course, they always have a place for you to be. But he had said, I think you should contact our health and wellness committee because he felt like more could be happening.
Yes.
And he wanted me just to come infiltrate this instead of trying to come outside, you know?
Yeah.
Because, and I really want to help my community and things, but do you think, and I was just kind of surprised the meetings were only once a month.
Yeah.
Does it work? I mean, I'm so new, I don't know you guys.
I'm
honestly asking.
So I think, I guess I would say it this way. This is a relatively new committee. It's not super, super new. I think this committee has always struggled to find effective ways to address some of its goals, and I think Wendy sent you the resolution forming the committee, maybe or not. I'll put together some information on the reasons the committee was formed.
Oh, I did read that a couple months ago. True.
Yeah.
Months.
And
like
so,
it's been three almost because you guys skipped, I think, last month.
Yeah, we skipped last month.
Yeah.
But I think that sometimes it's difficult for this committee to kind of land on, okay, here's our area of emphasis for certain things.
Yeah.
And so I will also say committee members have been free to share their ideas, and so you should feel that way too.
Mm-hmm.
If you wish to,
I have a ton of them.
If you want to, if you want to have another, like let's say we have a meeting in August,
okay,
so, and if you want to have time on the agenda,
that'd be great
to discuss some of your ideas.
Just to see what you guys
think. Mason, you could work with Christine a little bit if you want to, have some time on the agenda. I think that's a great question, you know, how we.
Yeah, I just don't know yet, so I'm new.
And I don't know that, I think it's a challenge that this committee's always had is to figure out what's the main focus, what are the things we're gonna really spend our time on.
Yeah.
And so all ideas are great ideas or good ideas, you know. Some are great, some are good.
Having been on PTA boards for probably
some of mine are not so good, but you know, I think there's room for everybody to share ideas. That's
definitely
been my experience with the committee.
Definitely, yeah, because I mean we all have varied backgrounds and
yes,
and as you're right, it has been a little difficult. I think part of it is the fact that we're, you know, we play an advisory role. We don't really have
plans.
We just present ideas that we would recommend that the city does. We have some overlap with other committees, and in those times we've kind of partnered with them or worked to help support them, you know, with like the trails events and things like that. But and then the fact that we don't have a budget as well makes this more of a, like, we come up with good ideas and send them off.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be that we don't have a budget. That's not a rule or anything.
Okay.
I think that the city council, if we had a solid proposal, the city council will welcome that input from this committee and probably want to fund something if you have a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, great. Good question.
There's also been some turnover, too, with committee members.
We had a lot of turnover in this committee.
Because we had forgot her name, but she was trying to do yoga classes with the senior group up at the clubhouse and get something up there and things like that.
That'd be easy, actually, yeah.
But then, she moved.
If we can use the clubhouse, and I don't know all the rules and regulations of.
I don't either. And
Well, and the mayor mentioned to me, just use our meeting rooms here. But I've never used, personally, a room that small. And they fill up with people, because people truly, are interested these days in things like yoga and meditation and tai chi, and I've had elderly people tell me, or people who are just 70 and older, that there aren't enough things in the community to make them feel like part of the community too, since we don't have like a concrete senior center here.
No, we don't.
Either.
We do have a monthly senior lunch.
Yeah.
Which they really enjoy. It's great.
Yeah.
But that's the entirety
of the
program. No, it's right here.
Oh, it is down here.
Yeah, it's right
in
this room. Mm-hmm. They play bingo and have prizes. It's great.
Yeah.
Super fun.
It's well attended then.
It is
pretty
well attended. About 60 people.
Yeah. Ooh. Once a month.
That's pretty good.
Once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, any ideas, more like, please share.
We'll get together. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and I think if you guys will just, if you decide on an agenda item, like if you want to talk about something, just shoot me the item and we'll put it on the agenda.
Okay.
You know, email or text or whatever.
I think we can save these to a later month and review them again. And then we've got hold on a second. So 13 is going with 4 for next time, right? And then the point in time count, I think that was Lisa too. I don't know if they've still released the information for
I don't have any idea. I don't think so. I don't know for sure.
So then feedback from other committees. The Trails Committee meets on Tuesdays, which are hard for me. But I'm scheduled next month to go. Or wait,
if the Trails Committee still meets at the facility
Works.
Building, I could do that some night because I live near there.
Oh really? If I have to cancel this because I'm scheduled this next month to go there, but it's like my wife has a thing, and then I watch my kids at night, and so it's like hard to schedule the babysitter.
Yeah, if you'd rather send me, let me know.
Okay. That'd be helpful because last time the babysitter just like dropped off the face of the earth.
Yeah,
I was like, sorry, I can't come today unless you want 3 little kids in there.
I don't have a babysitter to worry about.
So I don't have anything yet, but I'm supposed to talk to them next month. So each of us, like there's other committees, and like we said, you know, there's some overlap between the things that we do. Ways we can partner is a better way, I guess, of saying it, and support each other. And so each of us kind of have a different committee, one of the other committees we go on, and just say, hey, we're here. Let us know how we can help, anything we can do to help you guys. Sharing ideas we have, maybe, that kind of a thing.
How often do you think it's important for us to go to another meeting? A couple times a year?
I think just once or twice a year just to pop in. And then if there's something that shows up here, then we can try and set up. But then they know who we are, and,
and
they can contact us if they want anything,
okay.
I think.
Great.
Yeah.
I've got nothing from them.
Update on federal funds related to treatment and prevention of opioids.
So Nicole had that in her email. She mentioned that.
I can add to that. Let me just pull up her email. This item, I'm not sure who put this item on the agenda or if we all did together. This is, nationally, there was a large settlement. It's the opioid settlement funds. And what happened in the settlement is that funds went to every state of the union, and the terms of the settlement are that states work with counties, because counties have health departments, to distribute funds. And this is the part I'm adding, because I've talked to Craig about this. Craig Black, our chief of police, we are unaware of any programs where Davis County, in our case, has offered to distribute opioid settlement funds to a city. So it's not that we couldn't qualify; we just don't know that the funds are available to local government. I'm not sure, as I look at the list of things that the funds could be used for, we might be able to use funds for educating the public
about prevention of opioid use, but the health department really has a core function for that, and the county government has a core function for that, and particularly for recovery and treatment, you know, of drug abuse and stuff like that. So, of substance abuse, it's really not a. It's most cities don't have that function. Now, big cities will have that function.
And then we, as a volunteer committee, would certainly be biting off more than we could chew
at our level. So, I mean, the capacity or
yeah. So, in Salt Lake County, for instance, they have county services for those things. I think Davis County partners with private, in public-private partnerships for those services. But anyway, so that's kind of what Craig told me about the opioid settlement.
I think you're right. I think it's an awesome thing to educate, and it really does help. Research shows it helps a lot in preventing opioid use and misinformation. I don't think that's something that we have. You're right. It should be a county thing. One question I did have though. Is do we have like, I know there's places like you go to the Salt Lake City Library and where they have like a Narcan distribution, naloxone kind of a thing. Do we have that available for someone to come pick up?
I think in the police department you could go down there and get that from them.
That's good enough.
At least it was that way. I don't know if they're still doing that. They did that a few years ago. I'll ask about that.
And maybe it's just important for us as a committee to be aware of what resources those money is going to in our county so that we can maybe just direct residents to it, whether it's the health department, Davis Behavioral Health. You know, I know they help manage addiction services and those types of things for the county. So I think maybe we just keep our ears to the ground and understand where it's going instead of us, you know, trying to
We'll do some research on that and find out.
Yeah.
Okay.
City Council update. I think Lisa said she had nothing else to share. Do you have anything, Ken?
I don't think I do, actually. No? Okay. From the City Council.
Any other committee member business?
Not for me.
So next month we're going to talk about we're combining 4 and 13, the city wellness survey results with the community health improvement plan.
Did you get the wellness information? We can forward it to you if you didn't get it. The wellness information, was it sent to you?
The
wellness survey results.
Survey. And I did read that.
Okay, you did get it. Okay.
I had a question, if I can ask it now,
About
how that was distributed and how many actual residents filled it out. Did I read that on there per capita? Like how many actually?
They had links on the social media. I remember that. So it was,
media.
Volunteer respondents.
We had, I remember when the first year, was it 600 people responded?
Yeah, it was over 600 the first year and about two-thirds of that the second time.
Really? So remember the first year, that was a lot more than most other cities respond.
Yeah.
So then the second year was about 400? Mm-hmm. Okay. And then we do that every 2 years, right?
Yeah. I think it'd be so great to make sure almost every resident fills that out. You know? So you get such an accurate...
Make them do it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we used to go in the neighborhood door to door for, pennies or cancer whatever. Just to make sure everyone at least gets a copy I mean, there's some people that aren't going to download it or print it off their computer. Some people want to fill it out. Older people want to fill it out.
They could certainly have a presence at events, like talking about like the senior lunch. That's 60 people there. We could have somebody just there with an iPad letting them answer their survey questions.
Yeah,
or
yeah, I think there's a lot more we could do as a city to market the survey or, you know, remind people that there's a survey or even educate people on the connection between the survey results and how the city responds to those survey results, whether we work how much do we put into the results, you know, to when we program public dollars, you know.
And I think when people understand that their participation can make a difference, you know,
yeah.
that's different than just, hey, why don't you take this survey because we want to know.
And I think it says we care.
Yeah, it does.
We care as a community. We care how you feel. And that's what starts to get a real sense of community happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a good idea for the events to push it more.
How long is the survey window typically open? Or do you guys like start it and
I think it's probably 30 to 45 days maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
When's the schedule to happen again then?
I don't know. We'll have to talk to the
It
should be 2026. But that group is, we'll just have to confirm that we can do it again.
And then this community health improvement plan, this refers to this book, right?
Yes.
Do you have a copy of this, too?
I don't.
We can get you one.
I have one here. Take that with you.
Yeah.
And that's also on the Davis County's website, too. So.
So that'll be next time. We'll probably report on the health and wellness. There's no words. Health and wellness. This night out against crime.
The fair.
The fair. And I'll be there. Are you going to be there?
Yeah.
Okay. It's fun. Bring your kids hot dogs, you know.
I'll be there. Yep.
And what's the date of that?
It's July 31st.
It's a Thursday night.
Thursday night, yeah. Starts at 5:30. And we'll have that next time. And then I was wondering if we wanted to do this, if we wanted to go over this criteria draft you're going to make, Ken.
Yeah.
Then we'd be ready to start talking about those, you know, come September, October.
You bet. I'll put that together so we can do it next meeting.
You guys, has the Health and Wellness Committee ever done a booth or just to have a presence anywhere or like even at the car show? Or
you certainly could.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the city's doing a tent.
Exist.
And I would say if we want to be part of that, we could just join the city tent. We can put up a sign that says health and wellness or whatever.
See what people
have to say.
Of
us there. You know,
We could participate. You know, you guys could choose how you want to do it.
Yeah.
The most I've seen is, going in, like I've helped out at some of the city tents, like painting rocks at the Unity of the Community. Or when we did the Kite Fest, not this year, but the year before, we had a little section talking about our trail series, but we've never done like our own dedicated booth.
Yeah.
Could be a good idea. Or at least just in presence.
Yeah, but it would be a good idea to, we have the canopy that's got City of North Salt Lake on the top of it, but we usually put up signs letting people know what's, you know, this year has been ask the city a question or something. It doesn't say that exactly, but it's like, questions for the city. We could do health and wellness for sure.
Yeah,
and well, I wonder too, you know, they do this at the Salt Lake City farmers market, but like when we start to get to a point that we're identifying organizations to spend money on in the city, you know, if we're looking for additional feedback or additional input from city residents, right? You see this quite often, and I do this for, you know, design projects, but you put up like a couple boards that said, you know, put a sticky dot on the organization you would like to see in your community, right? Would you like to see one that focuses on, you know, mental health and well-being classes or, you know, healthy eating or something like that, right? So as we start to identify these organizations or these goals a little bit further, that might be an idea for, you know, some way we can get additional feedback without having to do the full wellness survey again to kind of take tabs, but it's just kind of putting those posters up where people can put a sticky dot on what they want or whatever.
The Planning Commission did that, something like that with stickers, like 2 years at the, not this last Tech Festival, the one before, and they were right next to me. I was like, man, these guys are so much more organized than I am right now. And it was good. People came and they gave feedback, and it was nice and easy just to put a sticker on. That's a good idea.
Those were general plan.
Yeah.
General plan.
Open houses, yeah.
Yeah.
Before we wrote the draft plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. So we could do that in the future.
Cool. Anything else you want to add?
Just a quick question. Regarding things like signage, is that something that we have the ability to make here? Like if we wanted to make a little sign that said, you know, Health and Wellness Committee. And you know, like the parks group can make like metal signs for park trails and things like that. They have like, you know, the ability to manufacture signs there. Do we have anything like that here as far as like if we do want to have like, you know, poster boards with like categories of things that people can vote on?
Yeah, I think if we decide, if you give us some time in advance, we can have signs made.
We don't have to go to like a FedEx store and have it made.
No, we can
anything.
Do it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. if you want to have signs made for different things, we can do that for you. Yep. There's so many now that we do that we didn't used to do. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Great, cool. Let's adjourn until next time.
Okay.
Great, and the next one is August 11th. Everybody have that on their calendars. It's the second Monday of the month.
Okay.
So, great.
Thanks, Ken.
Thanks. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you.
I try not to. Once in a while, when he's there, he
doesn't get it very often. Actually, this one's out of battery because we don't use it that often. And so I was like, oh, well, yeah, I guess you can. He likes to draw on my iPad, so most of the time he's drawing.
Good for you, bud.
Good stuff. Yeah. He does pretty good at kind of running.
Okay.
He's come to
see ya.
Planning commission meetings.
See you, Jeff.
See you, Jeff.
Thanks.
Yeah, so well behaved.
Nice meeting you.
Forgot he was back there behind.
See ya.
Okay,
let's go.
My 5-year-old would have been off the walls.
Let me know a good time that you would want to get a chat.
Your email, they sent out like an announcement, right? Let me get your email just in case.
It's soft though.
Yeah,
I'll just close it. It'll open.
Do you? Oh, yeah, let me give you the 801
560
2346.
346.
Okay. And Christy C.